Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. Barry Murphy with you here from the news team. I'm joined on the line today by our beef editor Adam Woods, sustainability specialist Siobhan Walsh, deputy news editor Amy Ford, and news correspondent Rachel Donovan. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll discuss beef prices, a bush burning ban, veterinary medicine rules, bird flu, rural crime, and your CAP questions. First up, Adam Woods, over to you. On page one, you report that pressure is mounting on factories to increase beef prices. The World Cup is starting this weekend, and look, you're saying it's set to drive up demand. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we've seen that already take place over the last few days, Barry. I guess cow kill, a record cow kill last week. We're up at 10,945 cows. That's the highest cow kill since 2004. And that's on the back of really strong manufacturing beef demand in the UK and across Europe. And I suppose one of the drivers of that is the World Cup tournament starting on the 20th of November, which is next week. Look, people might say that it's unusual to have a winter tournament and will it really drive beef sales? But we're expecting a huge amount of gatherings to take place in pubs and restaurants and establishments across all of Europe. And I guess a pub isn't a traditional pub anymore. It's eating, it's out and having meals. So we're expecting a big, you know, food service demand come there. And that's what factories is ramping up over the last week. And coupled with that, we have a Christmas demand as well. I guess if we look at sort of peak shopping for Christmas is the second and third week of December, that 30-day dry age, we'll say premium product, that's being killed this week and next week. So that's also in terms of filtering into that increased demand there. And also we have a contraction in supply, the last piece of the jigsaw, because the prime cattle kill has dropped 2,000 head in the last sort of week. So all in all, it's putting real pressure on factories and price can only go one way at this stage.
Good stuff, Adam. Look, and I know you've more on that on page six, the detail and plenty of analysis. And I suppose for lads looking to sell cattle or buy cattle, should they sell on at the moment? And for lads looking to buy, should they keep back? Or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say dig in hard. I'd say, you know, the ball is definitely at the farmer's foot. If we take a look around Europe and even across the world, you know, French beef price at 5.72 this week, Polish beef price at 5.23, and an Argentinian beef price, South American beef at 4.90. That's 14 cents ahead of where Ireland is at the moment. So there's definite scope there for it to improve. If we look at the Board BM market tracker, we're 50 cents off the markets that we're selling into. So I would say that factories have been making hay over the last couple of weeks, and they haven't been returning what the market has been increased to. And I'd say over the next couple of weeks, definitely farmers should sell hard, and I would be in no panic to sell cattle definitely until sort of early December, until we see that peak Christmas demand subsiding.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it rolls into Christmas, Adam. And look, sticking with yourself on page five, a bit of a different one, but you report that controversial vet medicine rules have been stalled. This has been a long time coming, this legislation. And look, it's a very complex issue. Farmers have an awareness of it, but I'm not sure many actually understand or are fully aware of what's coming down the tracks. Could you first of all maybe give a bit of an explainer and then tell us, I suppose, about this latest development that the legislation has been stalled?
Yeah, I guess we've been following this really closely for the last 18 months, and this is on the back of EU legislation that the department has to, we'll say, implement, and it's around the prescribing and selling of animal health medicines. I suppose the new law that was due to come in actually 2021, and then it was postponed until 2022, until the 1st of December. It's not going to come into effect now because it went to the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture for, I guess, pre-scrutiny and we'll say engagement with stakeholders. They are not happy to send that on to for legislation and to be set into law. So it has to go back now again and put some changes into it. The real nub of the issue is that vets would have to prescribe, we'll say, anti-parasitic treatments to farmers. And I guess the industry stakeholders are not happy with that. They're not happy maybe the vets will be able to do that in areas where veterinary practices may not open at weekends. So there's a huge amount of issues there. It's a really complex issue. Also within that is the fertilizer, we'll say, database in terms of the department are going to hold. And there are, I suppose, concerns being expressed around the sharing of that data on the National Veterinary Prescription System and also the fertilizer database with stakeholders like Board B and others. So there's a huge amount of issues there that the Joint Committee on Agriculture have highlighted a lot of those, and it's up to the government now to go back and maybe make some tweaks to that legislation to see can they get it through. But the changes won't take place, I suppose, for farmers listening. The changes were due to take place on the 1st of December. That can't happen, so it's as you were for the next couple of months.
Sustainability specialist Siobhan Walsh next. And Siobhan, on page one, this is one that will really rile up farmers. There's a ban on bush burning coming for 2023. This raised its head earlier this year with lots of farmers giving out about it. A derogation hasn't been extended, I understand. Can you please give us a bit more on it?
Yeah, Barry. So like we reported on this back in, you know, the start of the year around February, basically people were burning bushes and local authorities were granting permits to burn bushes. And then they realised that the derogation which had been granted to burn those bushes hadn't actually been granted for 2022. So then there was uproar at the time, and eventually Minister McConlogue intervened and asked the Minister for the Environment, who has responsibility for this, to grant the derogation for 2022. So the derogation was granted in 2022, and then basically the Department of Environment said that they would work and the Department of Agriculture would work to find solutions and alternatives to burning bushes on farms. So basically what we're reporting this week is you can't burn your bushes now from the 1st of January in 2023. There's no derogation. You could face a penalty if you do burn bushes on your farm in 2023, but there's no alternatives. The departments haven't come with any solutions. They did put out a tender for someone to work on finding those solutions. The Irish Bioenergy Association won the tender. They're working with the Department of Environment, Department of Agriculture, local authorities and the Department of Housing. And they're working on a project at the minute to find solutions and alternative. But we have no date as to when the results of that work will come. And in the meantime, then 1st of January is coming thick and fast. And we have a new acres scheme there that's asking people to coppice hedges as well. So lots of questions to be answered on this, Barry. And as you said, farmers will really be riled up over it.
You said it yourself, Siobhan, and you mentioned their acres and the new scheme coming in at this cups and hedges. Surely it's not going to make sense if lads are being asked to take up hedges and to cut the tops off them. What are they going to do with the cut vegetation? Is there a plan for it?
Yeah, so basically, like in acres, there is an option there to coppice your hedge. And coppicing your hedge basically means cutting the hedge at the butt of the hedge in order to rejuvenate the hedge. So if you have a whitethorn hedge, you cut it off at the bottom, more shoots will grow and the hedge will be rejuvenated. So at the minute, a lot of our hedges are what Chagas would describe. Catherine Crina often calls them trilobe brush hedges. So they have a stem at the bottom and then all the branches are at the top. And that's not a good hedge for biodiversity or for carbon storage or shelter or anything for animals. So the acre scheme is aiming to fix that with the coppice and measure. But as you said, that means cutting the hedge at the bottom. So there's going to be a lot of bushes and green waste that has to be managed on farms. Now, look, some people will say you can pile up that waste on your farm and it'll create a lovely habitat for animals. And look, some of it will, but there might be an awful lot of this waste on farms. And every year, even, you know, there's bits and pieces that have to be managed on farms. Cutting hedges, this and all, is necessarily a bad thing. So there is bits and pieces around farms that will be gathered up over a few years and farmers generally burn every now and again. But like, what do we do if we don't burn these bushes, or there's too many there to pile up for a habitat? You know, we draw them. Local authorities expressed concern when we had this story back in the spring. Is this going to fill up the landfills? If we have to drive waste to a landfill, we're burning diesel. If we have to mulch waste, we're burning diesel. So, you know, I think there needs to be a look at this again and see where is the balance. Like, do we cart green waste to location and then it has to be brought to another location again to do whatever maybe comes from this project? Or do we mulch it and burn a lot of diesel when we're mulching it? Or do we just burn it where it is? So, look, still lots of things to be answered on that, Barry.
Yeah, absolutely, Siobhan. Lots to be answered, and you'd hope they bang their heads together there in the departments and government and come up with a simpler solution there. And look, sticking with Acres, Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor. We had a CAP meeting this week there, and last week we had one in Galway. You were at the one in Galway, and our colleague Noel Barden was at the one in Cavan, and we have a bit of a spread there across pages 9, 10 and 11 in terms of the questions from farmers and the concerns they raised. I suppose, what are the main issues with the incoming CAP?
Yeah, Barry, and we've another one next week. We have a final one in Kerry next week, so we're kind of all capped out, but something different is coming up every week. The one in Tuam in County Galway, look, space for nature, hedges and stone walls, geese and swans, they were some of the topics that came up in terms of the Q&A from the floor. You know, do I have to check that my space for nature percentage to qualify for eco schemes on agfood.ie is correct? Yes, you do. If you've 10 parcels, you know, you'll see that they're marked out there, whether it's a stone wall or a hedge or a bit of scrub, and the department wants you or your advisor on your behalf to check all of them to make sure that they're right. Riparian zones is another one. Wild bird cover is selling entitlements. If you're selling entitlements, are you liable for capital gains tax? And if so, how is it calculated? The short answer is yes, they are subject to capital gains tax. And stone wall is the definition of the word maintain. And if concrete and a stone wall rules you out for a traditional stone wall and acres, and concrete does rule you out. So different issues around the country. And that the Q&A, the full Q&A is on page 10 this week, Barry.
Thanks, Amy. Look, you said yourself there, you mentioned this, we have an extra CAP meeting on Wednesday the 23rd of November in Tralee, County Kerry. It'll be at the Rose Hotel at 7:30 p.m. and farmers can sign up for the event at www.ifj.ie/register. And look, sticking with yourself, Amy, we have a bit of coverage this week as well in the paper on bird flu. Our colleague Noel Barden took a look at it, and I know Rachel will have you on in a second there as well, but you took a look at the supermarkets and their concerns or lack of concerns on bird flu. But I suppose for yourself, Amy, on page 22, we see that 3,000 turkeys were culled up in Monaghan this week. That's a serious cull and it hit national headlines. Are we likely to see a few more of them, or has it been contained?
So to date, look, the background to this, Barry, number of wild birds around coastal areas of the country have been identified with highly pathogenic bird flu. That another case then of that was confirmed in a swan above in Cavan, and Cavan, Monaghan, that area, you know, it's high poultry area. That's where a lot of the country's poultry farms are. And there's the worry there that it would spread. And look, sadly, it has. It's got into a turkey flock. As you said, 3,000 birds have been culled. It was the same strain, highly pathogenic strain of the bird flu. There's protection zones and restriction zones put in place, but no further case of bird flu have been identified or reported to the department as of today. And, you know, you'd hope that it would stay that way. Poultry units within these zones now are subject to additional biosecurity measures in a bid to stamp out the outbreak and to prevent the infection of any additional flocks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see now how it goes through the winter, and you'd hope it doesn't hit those Cavan and Monaghan farmers where poultry farming is such a big thing up there. It doesn't hit them too badly. Thanks, Amy. Look, moving on to news correspondent Rachel Donovan. Rachel, you saw a really interesting story this week on rural crime not too far away from you down there in Tipperary. Clonmel, there was a farmer attacked, from what I understand, by trespassers on his land. You were speaking to the farmer in question. It's a sorry tale. What happened to him?
Yeah, Barry. So I suppose it was a tillage farmer in Clonmel. Jerry Purcell is his name. He approached two men on the road outside his farm on Friday night, 30th of September, and asked them to move along. They had a light that you'd use for lamping in their hand, and another guy was driving the car. They had no dogs, so they were just shining the light. They were kind of snooping around, shining it in neighbours' yards and into fields. He duly asked them to move along, and seconds later, he was blinded by the lamp, and the man driving the car hit him with an object from behind. Then, as he described himself, kicked and beaten on the ground. He's a 41-year-old man, Barry. I suppose lucky that he was a young enough man that was able to come out of it okay. He's now well and good, he tells me. But he suffered broken ribs and lacerations to his head as well. So it was a serious attack, a brutal attack, really. But cases of terrorising farmers and trespassing have been going on in Clonmel and surrounding areas for the last month or two. And there has been loads of robberies and people in opening gaps and letting cattle out into different fields and out onto the road. And so they're really sick and tired of it down there at the moment, and seems to be the same people again and again coming around farms and causing these issues.
You report as well, Rachel, on the same page, page 21, that there's a rural crime unit coming for Clonmel, or it's on the way. And that's, I suppose, off the back of this increased crime rate. I understand some of the community down there, they had a meeting with Minister for Justice Helen McEntee. So what's the update from that? Are they going to get extra guards on the ground, or what's the story with it?
Yes, people from Clonmel got together in a delegation, met Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, and told their stories of the robberies and trespassing and all these things. And I suppose on the back of that, she has launched Operation Roto Tiller. So it's specifically targeted for Clonmel and to target these local organised criminal gangs. And so far, I suppose it has been quite successful. It has seen 4 vehicles seized, 13 drug detections, 2 detected trespassing incidences on farms near Powerstown, which is just outside Clonmel. So there's work being done there already, but definitely more to do.
Yeah, definitely more to do, Rachel. Look, that's all we have time for this week's, folks. Remember, you can find out more about all the stories discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. Thanks for joining and for listening. Safe farming, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.